I'm currently joined on the phone by Crimson White staff writer Mark Hammontry, who wrote a very interesting opinion piece titled "Trump is Dangerous, Even if He Can't Win." Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. So let's get right to it. So the title of your article, "Trump is Dangerous, Even if He Can't Win." Why don't you explain to us what you mean by that? Like, why do you think he is so politically dangerous if he's not going to get the nomination and, as you believe, certainly not going to win the presidency of the United States?
Right. So, well, I guess just we'll start with the second half of that. I think, you know, and I say this having read people a lot smarter and more in tune than I saying it, but from, you know, everything I've read and just sort of the general feeling I get from conversations with people, there's no real chance that Donald Trump has of actually winning the GOP nomination. He's way too incendiary. He's way too divisive. He's way too much of, he's sort of seen as too much of a joke, despite the fact that right now he's polling around 32%, or depending on what poll you look at, with the Republican field. But that being said, even though, you know, we're several months away from the first primaries and you know, a little more than a year away from the election, he still is having a huge impact on the conversation surrounding not just the Republican race right now, but the Democrat race as well, the presidential race conversation as a whole. And the reason that I say that he is dangerous and that he's having a negative impact on that is because of the rhetoric that he's using, and specifically with these issues that he's choosing to focus on. Primarily, obviously, he's been talking about immigration, and the rhetoric he's using, which is very vitriolic, very racist, to be honest. I mean, people could dispute it, but it's racist. And because he's polling high numbers and because he's getting so much media attention because of that, and specifically about his polling numbers, it's giving off this appearance that he's gone from being a laughingstock joke candidate. You know, when he ran like 4 years ago, that's all he ever really was. But he's gone from being that to all of a sudden he's a legitimate contender, which numbers-wise, there's evidence to support that. But by sort of telling the story that way, it's in turns makes his views and the things he's saying legitimate, which is dangerous because it allows people, you know, average Americans who, you know, may or may not be well educated on issues, may or may not have experiences and exposures to people and ideas who are different from them, but they have these fears, which are large part sort of fueled and even created by people like Donald Trump and public figures like Donald Trump. So it gives them sort of a dangerous way to address their fears and sort of find these scapegoats that Donald Trump is holding up, and these half measures and really things that are not good for the country, but he's getting people to buy into his vision, I suppose.
So you make all these observations about why he's dangerous and make a compelling argument, but does any of this surprise you? Because to me, as a political observer, he seems to almost defy the rules of regular politics. It seems like the normal rules of what goes on when certain candidates say certain things don't apply. He's like a hydra. When he says something or does something that you think would kill him, he seems to come back even stronger than he was before. So does this reaction that he's getting, the 32% number that you throw a lot around in the article and the devotion that you see from the 30,000-plus people that were in places like Mobile and around the country, does any of that surprise you?
I would say no, just because I think this cycle particularly, and this year is sort of, I guess, like the perfect storm for someone like Donald Trump to sort of have this success in this stage of the race and of the conversation. You know, I mean, Americans love reality television, even while we, you know, love to sort of talk about how awful it is. We love to watch it. You know, we watch it more than anything, and we watch it more than anywhere else. And, you know, Donald Trump sort of is sort of that he's representative of that sort of reality TV culture and mindset. He says things that are outrageous, but at the same time, it's things that even if it makes you laugh, sometimes you can't look away. And also, you know, people are fed up with the government, you know, especially the federal government. And that, you know, that's what the Tea Party was able to sort of parlay into a lot of success in the last election cycle. And so now Donald Trump, because he's such a highly watchable figure, and because he's so incendiary and sort of seen as anti-establishment, which is sort of ironic since he is part of the economic powers that sort of fund the establishment, but he's that sort of personality he brings is, I think, something that attracts a lot of people who haven't seen a good alternative, or who are just angry, and Donald Trump sort of embodies that anger, and I think that makes sense why he's having success, and then why he's polling so high. I mean, it's easy to give an answer in a poll. It's easy to watch the news. It's easy even really to sort of attend a big rally if you're in the area, but you know, I will find it surprising. What will surprise me is if that turns into actual numbers that show up on the days of these primaries, because typically the people who are voting in
talking about primaries in general, the numbers. So that 32% number, so of the people that typically vote in a Republican primary, 32% of them support Donald Trump right now. The clear and away front runner. I think Jeb Bush is second, but he's like at least 10 points behind.
Right.
So that means that there's 68% of the Republican base out there that either supports somebody else or is undecided. Now, when Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina start to come along and the funding for these other candidates dries up and supporters are going to have to start to go their separate ways, do you think that a lot of these supporters, especially the ones that are sick of the establishment like you talked about, are going to flock to Trump or maybe flock to one of the other candidates, which will lead to his downfall?
Right. The latter. I think, you know, really probably even before the first primaries, some of these candidates that are polling at lower numbers are going to drop out, or and the ones that aren't bringing in enough money. And then, you know, as some of the primaries come out, I think there's going to be a handful or maybe even just a few candidates. And I think that the rest of that Republican base or that Republican pool of primary voters is going to flock to those candidates, whether it's, you know, Jeb Bush or somebody else who maybe makes a strong showing at the first few of those primaries. So that's exactly, as you said, that's where I think Trump's finally going to run out of the gas.
So I've just got one more question for you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
In your article, you refer to Trump as a demagogue. And a couple of minutes ago, you kind of said that this campaign just has the air of reality TV. It's almost like it's a show. So do you think, and I'm asking for your personal opinion here, that Donald Trump actually buys what he's selling? Or do you think that he's only saying these things because he's an opportunist, he's politically convenient, or any of X, Y, and Z of the conspiracy theories that are out there as to why he's actually running for president?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm not sure I'm convinced of one way or the other, whether he buys it. You can look at the history of what the way he's behaved and the things he's said, and there's, you know, a pretty well-documented history of him saying pretty offensive things, pretty, you know, things that are racist, misogynistic, you know, basically the kind of things that you might expect from a white male who sort of has had money most of his life and has a lot of it. But at the same time, he's obviously a calculating and smart businessman who's had a lot of success, and maybe it is that sort of attention seeking in a sort of calculated way that causes him to say some of these things. But I mean, honestly, he says it enough and says it with enough passion that I tend to think he believes most of it, which is, I don't know if that's more upsetting. I think it is, just because of his influence, he could be using it for much better things. But so I think so, but it's confusing for sure.
Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
And his article, "Trump is Dangerous, Even If He Can't Win," can be read at the CW's website online. Go take a look at that. We'll be right back on the other side of this break with more of today's top headlines and stocks. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Capstone News Now.